You are amazing.
So are you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Truly, 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 do you know how amazing you are? I didn't say if you feel amazing. I said you are amazing. And why are we amazing?
God said it, I believe it.
Because Holy Spirit's in us, right? So you are truly amazing. I believe, I was going to introduce myself. I am Lori Jacob. I am Bruce Jacob's wife, who is an elder of the church. And I believe, nice to meet you, if you don't know me. I think I know pretty, have seen all these faces. But I believe God has given me a word for you. It took me a while to get it. Bruce kept saying, I thought you had a word, I thought you had a word. And I said, well, I did. But then I was like, God, I need my 3 points. So, because Bruce is always, give me your 3 points. And so God gave me 3 points. So I am going to open with prayer. Father, I thank you for how beautiful you are, for your presence in this place and your presence in us. And God, I thank you for sending your son that we could have relationship with you, that we could have intimacy with you. You are so amazing, and you've made us amazing. Bless this time, Father. I pray that you would just pour out your spirit on these hearers, on those who hear this word, that they would hear your spirit and maybe not just the words I'm saying. Father, I thank you that you would give each one a word that they need to hear today that would transform their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So let's just get started. I am starting in Matthew 9, 14 to 17. And we're going to read it in the Amplified. And maybe I will read it from the screen. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus inquiring, why is it that we and the Pharisees fast often? That is, abstain from food and drink as a religious exercise. But your disciples do not fast. And Jesus replied to them, can the wedding guests mourn while the bridegroom is still with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And no one puts a piece of cloth that has been shrunk on an old garment, for such a patch tears away from the garment, and a worse rent or tear is made. Neither is new wine put in old wineskins, for if it is, the skins burst and are torn in pieces, and the wine is spilled and the skins are ruined. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. In reading this, I've heard a lot of messages on it, and actually just in studying out some more of the pieces of it, I've always like, oh, God, I got to have a new wineskin. You got to give me a new wineskin. And then Jesus was like, read it again. And so I read it again. So I'm just going to touch pieces and parts of it. It says, can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while the bridegroom is with them? It's interesting that Jesus uses bridegroom for himself, because he's saying mourning, fasting, mourning, and he uses bridegroom. When you're with the bridegroom, it's a time of celebration, okay? And, you know, the questions that came to Jesus before that was, you know, why don't your disciples fast? And earlier on, he was saying, you know, why do you eat with sinners and tax collectors? The Pharisees were always into religious traditions and wondering why Jesus didn't, you know, why do you heal on the Sabbath? I mean, you just look at all the Gospels and it's just like, wow, you know, they were always asking questions about why and what they did. But the days, Jesus said, the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. After Jesus resurrected, he appeared one more time to the disciples before the ascension and said, go wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise from the Father. John baptized with water, but he would baptize them with the Holy Spirit, and they would receive power from the Holy Spirit when he came upon them. And they would be witnesses to the ends of the earth. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they went to the upper room. They were continually devoting themselves with one mind to prayer. And that's the fasting part. So when he said, the day will come when the bridegroom is taken away from him, that was when Jesus ascended to heaven, that they would no longer see him. But he said, go wait, and they'll fast. During that time, they were going to be forever changed, right, in the upper room. They were forever changed and transformed into the new wineskin with a robe of righteousness. Jesus goes on to say in that section of Scripture, a parable of, but no one puts a piece of unshrunk new cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and a worse tear results. Now, one of the things he showed me is that no one does this. That means everybody knows that you don't do this. Okay, it's almost like, duh, you don't do this. And to me, when I was studying this out, a lot of it was like Jesus' teachings was that new cloth. And it would never work with the old way of thinking, with the old religious. Like, it's the old covenant to the new covenant, where the new covenant fulfills the old covenant, right? It's grace versus law. Okay? And the old garment represented religious traditions, like I was saying with the disciples, the Pharisees were asking Jesus, why don't you do everything like I do, you know, or like we do, like we teach. And Jesus was bringing a new way of teaching. And I love, you know, Bruce's message of living in the finished work. Now, I'm telling you that he, like he said, he barely scratched the surface, and I can barely scratch the surface with this message. But if you start reading the word with the finished work of the cross in your, you know, let him show you the finished work of the cross in the word, and you'll start living a life of power, a life of being amazing. When Jesus said, it is finished, he just didn't repair the old way of life. He completely replaced it. Okay, so I'm not going to try to fit my way of thinking into the old way. I'm going to give you a whole new robe of righteousness. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. This is what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, Jesus also goes on to talk about, nor is new wine put into old wineskins. He's saying the same thing. No one does this. If you have wine and you need to preserve it, no one puts it in an old wineskin. Okay? Because the old wineskin has lost its elasticity. Okay? The wineskin will burst if you put the new wine in it. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. Jesus is saying he has to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come and live in righteous vessels that he paid the price for. The life and the truth of the Spirit of God cannot be contained in resistant, legalistic, rigid vessels. Now, I'm just going to touch quickly on resistance, legalistic. And I've already kind of touched on legalistic. Guys, we can't have a bunch of do's and don'ts. Okay, because Holy Spirit's going to say, I'm going to have you do this. You know, I'm going to have you do this. And it doesn't look, and I can tell you a quick story. Hopefully it's quick. We went to camp. They're like, will you be camp counselor? Yeah, I'll be camp counselor. And then, you know, they said, well, we're sending this girl with you. She is a professing lesbian and 19 years old, too old to come to camp. But I was like, okay, we'll deal with this because she was coming. And first night, she comes to me and she's like, Lori, I can't do this. This is way too much for me. They didn't tell me I was going to have to do this. They didn't say I was going to have to go to do that. And what, you know, and I was like, well, I can't take you home. So I said, you're stuck here for the whole week? I said, I have other campers I'm in charge of. So we go to church. We come back, and I notice she's just terrified. So I go over to her bed with my flashlight because the lights are out, and I say, Amber, what's going on? And she's like, well, I'm just so scared. I just want to go home. And Holy Spirit tells me, ask her to sleep with you. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, that is not happening. And so she keeps going on, and then she keeps going on, and Holy Spirit says, ask her to sleep with you. And I was like, God, this all is happening in my brain as I'm standing there listening to her. I can't do this. That would just be weird. What are my girls going to think of me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, anyway. So finally I just said, Amber, do you want to sleep with me? And she's like, you would let me sleep with you? And I said, yes. I said, honey, you're scared. If you need a mom right now, I'm a mom. I said, you can come and sleep with me. She says, can you just wait? Can I wait and see if I can do it? And I was like, yes. I'm like, yes. So she says, will you pray for me? And I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. So I prayed for her. And then I went to bed and I was like, thank you, Jesus. I said, I'm so glad I didn't resist you. But then guess what? All of a sudden I have this little light on a face, and she comes to my bed. And I see this 5-year-old little girl.
Wow. Come on.
And I just pulled back my covers, and she crawled into bed, and I just covered her up. And she said she slept so good. But see, I'm saying those things, in my head, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know. And then she even joked the rest of the week. She's like, I got to sleep with the counselor. And I was like, no, you're not going there. But I'm telling you, God may ask you to do some things that just seem a little bit out of your box. And even in, don't be resistant in worship. You know, let your hands go up. Let your voice be heard. And we'll talk more about that later. And wasn't worship wonderful? Right? So don't be legalistic. Don't be rigid. I'm trying to say, God, show me who you are and what you are like so that I can become you, because then that light can shine through me. It'll touch and transform you. And then it'll shine forth, and then people can grab hold of that and become more like him because of you. Right? So resistance. I love it. I decided that if a worship leader gave me a command, I was like, okay, go to the front. I'm going to the front. I loved, the one thing that I took out of Brownsville was Joseph Garlington said, do you want to be critical or receive? And I think resistant goes a lot to that. Do you want to receive or sit back and be critical?
Yeah.
And that can even be a messenger. Well, I don't like that person. Well, I don't, they always get up there. Well, they always, and it's like, don't miss out.
That's
on what God wants to say to you. Maybe through that person. So, back. Jesus wanted to have vessels where he could pour the Holy Spirit in, right? And when you recognize you need him and make him Lord of your life, Holy Spirit comes in and transforms your life. You will look like him, you'll act like him, and you'll live like him. We are a new wineskin. Say it. I am a new wineskin. Let's say we are a new wineskin. We are a new wineskin. I believe, even now looking at us here, we're the body, the new wineskin. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit, a new creation, ready for divine revelation, ready for him to speak. It's what he so longs for, is relationship with you. So because you are a new wineskin, I was asking God for my 3 points because I was like, what do I do with this? But anyway, he showed me some things. And oddly enough, all of them happened in prayer on Sunday mornings. So I typically go into prayer and I'm just like, man, I love you, God. And I'm like, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to see? You know, because I'll worship a little, but the one Sunday he showed me with the fishing net, I was in a boat, and I was wet, so I knew I was fishing, which I don't even know what I'm doing if this is how you're fishing, but he told me, throw it on the other side of the boat. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So a couple things grabbed me. The first thing that grabbed me was that I felt like God wants to do something new. Okay? And if you look at Isaiah 43:19, he says, behold, I am going to do something new. Now it will spring up. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Whew! Something new, like such a huge catch of fish that, okay, can't haul it in. You guys, holiness, one of the things I noticed too is that he was using everything that they had. Okay, Holy Spirit can bring newness out of what you have and what you do, where you work. Don't think that the newness has to be something completely new. I was touched by that because I thought that Sunday, I was like, oh, I want to do it a new way. I want to see something new. You know, and I was thinking, I have to do it all, you know, and it can't be anything that I have or use or see. And he was just like, no, let me bring the new out of what you have and what's in your hand. In the Bible, Jesus was teaching in Luke 5, and when he was done, he told the disciples to go out and fish again. Peter said, we fished all night and didn't catch anything, but because you say, I will do it. And that's our thing in our life, is listen, be willing, expectant, open, and listening, because he will say, and then you can do. And then you're going to see amazing things happen. Right? So then in John 21, though, Jesus had resurrected. And he came to the disciples who had fished all night. So when the disciples were fishing, Peter, you know, they were fishing all night. They went back because Jesus now had ascended. And they're like, what do we do, you know? Or Jesus had resurrected. He was coming to them. But he's like, what do we, you know, Jesus is dead. What do we do? And they just, you tend to always go back to what you've always known, huh? So they're out fishing. And then in the morning, didn't catch anything. But on the shore stands Jesus. And he says, throw it on the other side. Well, guess, I can just feel the excitement in Peter when he was like, this has happened before. I went through this. And I'm just, he will keep teaching you how to hear his voice. He'll keep showing you and using things, and they become like triggers. I have good triggers. Does anybody else have good triggers? That you see, you look, and you're like, oh, Jesus did that. Oh, Jesus moved there. You know, get those triggers. Get them around your house. You know, so you look, and you're just in love with Jesus everywhere you turn. But I can just imagine the excitement that Peter had when he heard. Because what did he do? He threw his cloak on and he jumped in the water because he knew there's Jesus. And I love, you know, you hear his voice. And being a new wineskin causes you to hear and obey. You will become more aware. And you'll know his voice. My sheep hear my voice, right? Now, the other thing that stood out to me was that the net in my hands, I didn't know why the net was so standing out to me. So I looked up what the net meant in my prophetic book, and it meant the kingdom. The kingdom, and it brought to me right away, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's what Jesus was preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at your hand. The kingdom is who God is and how he operates. It's in your hands. It's in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you. Amen? Amen. In Luke 12:32, you don't have to turn there. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that awesome? Those are things you can, it's your good pleasure to give me your kingdom. Amen. All right, the next point. So fishing was my first point. Next one was walking on water. I went into prayer again, and I felt like I was walking on the water, and there was a storm. And he was telling me that I'm a storm walker because of the new wineskin. It causes you to be able to walk through storms. And like Terry, he used my verse this morning, but it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That is a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
Very different perspective. And when I was walking, I didn't see Jesus, but I knew Jesus was there. His presence was so, it was almost like it was all-encompassing. He was there. But, you know, in a storm, you can be afraid, right? Or there can be fear. There can be doubt. There can be worrying. How many have worry prayers? God convicted me of worry prayers. He's like, Lori, you're only praying because you're worried. I'm like, oh, that's right, God. You're a covenant God of healing, of protection. You will take care of my family. Right? That's, you know, kings decree and declare. Okay, we don't pray, oh, God, please help them. Make sure that they, you know, because those are more a worrying prayer. But actually, I like what Chad Gonzalez said. The storm that you can calm is the storm you can sleep in. Jesus slept in a storm, right? And guys, you have no authority over what you fear. You have no authority over what you're worrying about. You have no authority over what you're doubting, right? And you can choose one way or the other. But does the worrying really help? Does the fear help? Does doubting? None of it really helps if you choose that route. It's going the other way. So anyway, with the walking in the storm, I was like, God, I don't get how this connects to the, you know, the wineskin. And it, so anyway, he said, well, when the bridegroom was taken away, he told them to go and wait. So all I was like, huh, I'm going to look up what that word wait means. So wait means all around, remain, abide. I'm going to read a lot, so try to listen. Properly, it's remain all around. For example, steady, regardless of the obstacles involved. To endure putting up with surrounding difficulty. And it's used only once in Acts 1:4. It's only used in that time. Wait portrays a purposeful, expectant abiding. It is not passive idleness, but deliberate obedience, rooted in confidence that the Father will fulfill his word. This solitary use, therefore, serves as a lens through which Scripture illustrates the posture of the church between promise and fulfillment. It's that waiting where you're holding on, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. Fulfillment, right? I thought that was so powerful because you can feel like you're in a storm. Right? You can feel like you're in a storm with sickness, with your past, with disease, with pain, with your job, with your spouse, with a friend. You can have many storms. But I'm here to tell you today, you are a vessel that carries the Holy Spirit, that brings the comfort, that brings the strength, that brings the life and the love that you can have for one another, or have even for yourself, that will carry you through the storm. Right? Count it all joy. I can see why now. Because you know what? There's not one thing that we are going through that Jesus didn't experience way worse on the cross.
Yeah.
And he did it for you, that you could have life. And I think Matondo said it last week, he didn't create death.
That's right.
He only wants you to have life, and life more abundantly, not just life, but abundant life. It will help you get from promise to fulfillment when you stay in him, when you stay focused on him. So you're a storm walker. Actually, I'm going to read that verse again. James 1:2-4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Sounds pretty good to me. Let it have its perfect work. Who wants to be perfect and complete? Lacking nothing. In the midst of your storm, can you lack nothing? I've seen some people go through the hardest things or be through the hardest things, and they're the happiest people on this earth. And that circumstance doesn't derail them. You know, your past doesn't define you.
Right.
Your giftings don't define you.
Yeah.
Your job doesn't define you.
Yay.
Right? Claim. No, I'm just kidding. No. Don't let anything derail you from walking with him in the storm. Amen? I love it. I know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't necessarily in a storm, but maybe you could consider that a storm, a firestorm. But can you imagine? And I love to think about it, because what fell off of them? What bound them? The fetters that bound them fell off of them, and they walked free in their storm. Amen. So the last one, and I loved Matondo's message last week. It's worship and praise. So I came in again to prayer, and I just started saying, God, I worship you. I love you. I praise you. And I started seeing that when I would say things, like, I think I said worthy, and a deep purple came out of my mouth. Okay, and then as I lifted my hands, all I could see, like, this swirling, a moving around, and I was like, oh, I'm affecting the atmosphere with my praise. And then I started walking, and I noticed that every step I took, I was lighting the way, or it was, making lights every time I stepped. But I saw myself started to dance, and it deepened it. It went out, and I was like, oh my, what is going on? And then I started looking at Tammy and Gary and seeing just the beauty of what happens in worship. It was energy, vibration, frequency of your worship. This is why I believe that the enemy wants to keep you quiet, wants to keep you, calm, reserved. And I'm not, I loved to dance. I loved it. I know it probably didn't look pretty, but I don't care. I actually had a kid come up to me and say, you look kind of dumb dancing. And I was like, well, that's just good, because I'm not dancing for you. But I didn't care. I loved his presence. And then when I was just started seeing all this movement, like when the others were in the room, I was like, God, what are you showing me? And I believe, like Matondo was talking last week, the power and the glory within your praise. And, 2 Corinthians 10 says, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And I believe one of the weapons of warfare, the greatest weapons of warfare, is praise and worship and thanksgiving. God showed me a while back that thanksgiving, it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. You enter, you access. The gate is an access point. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for blessing us. I thank you for who you are. And what does that lead you to do? Is praise. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into his courts with praise. What happens in the courts of the Lord? Justice. Justice. So when you're lifting him up and you're praising his name, justice against darkness happens. Right? He inhabits, I can hardly do this, he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. We thank you, Lord. It can bring such destruction to the enemy. In Psalm 40, he says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Okay, you tell me is how does singing a new song of praise to our God that many will fear and put their trust? They're here, they're feeling the presence of God. They're saying, whoa, what is this? Right? Put it, let a new song come out of your mouth. I believe God manifests himself in the praises of his people. And you know, we know that. There's several things in scripture, like Paul and Silas. They're just flogged, beat, they're in a storm, right? What do? They decide, let's just lift him up. Because he's worthy. Because I just got beat. It's a different way of thinking, isn't it? I just got beat to probably almost death. And it's probably sometimes for Paul. But you know what? I praise him. I praise him, I praise him. And what begins to happen? The earthquake. The chains of them fell off. And it not only fell off of them, but off of everyone around, right? Guys, you can be, oh, I praise you, Lord. You pray, and you don't know, but the person might next to you might be being set free, might be being healed. You don't know if you lift up your hands and just worship in a grocery store, what could happen, right? Praising in the car. I've been doing it with my grandson. Jesus. And we just say, shout Jesus and raise our hands. Because I want praise to be a normal thing in their life. Let it come out. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday morning. And it's fun to make up your own songs. Right? Fun to make up your own songs. What about Jehoshaphat? Do you guys remember Jehoshaphat? In 2 Chronicles 20, he says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and all the kings, and they were defeated. So you do not know what is happening. You know, it's kind of a strange battle plan, but the Lord won the battle for them. Praise enables you to encounter the power of God like nothing else. It's not easy to tell yourself to stop being afraid or stop worrying or stop doubting. But one of the things that I think I've experienced is when I'm slipping into, finding that I'm not thinking positively, I'll just like, God, I praise you. I thank you that you are so full of love that it can break any fear that's trying to come against me. You know, you've given me a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. And that I'm more than a conqueror because greater is he that lives in me. You know, you can just keep declaring who he is and it changes you. How many have ever experienced this? You're not having such a great work week, great work week. You come to church and you start praising and all of a sudden you feel invincible. Right? I come here and I'm like, yeah, I could leap over a few walls and, over the chariots or whatever that one is. I can't remember that scripture. But I feel like God is just strengthens me. So, but I was like, why am I accepting it only on a Sunday? This should be all part of my life, right? Continually feeling like, what do you want to do, God? What are you going to show me? What's going to happen next? Be expectant, right? I remember maybe Bob and Lori, probably on a Friday night prayer, we got word that Peter was arrested and in jail. We got word from China that I think it was in China. So Peter was in China, and so we, all the men, got on their faces at the altar. They laid down on the floor, and all the women were around, surrounding them, and we just worshiped, and we worshiped, and we worshiped. That's all we did. We didn't pray. We just worshiped. And all of a sudden, Dennis goes, oh, I got a call. They released him. And I'm like, come on, God. Right? And that is just, do you remember that, Laura? Yeah. It's amazing to see what God can do when you worship. Just love him and love on him. All right, so I challenge you. The next time you're struggling and thinking stuff that you can't stop, just start praising him. If you can throw a song on, otherwise make up your own song and just start loving on him. You'll start getting good at it. You guys remember that God is at work doing powerful things when you worship. Do you know what work we are to do? Do you know what the Bible says, the work that we should do? In John 6, it says, the work we should do is to believe in the one who sent, or he sent. Believe in Jesus. That struck me. I read that this week, and I was like, wow, it's believing. It's believing what he said. It's believing who he said you are. Get your identity only from him. Only from him. Believe. Let your faith know that God is at work doing powerful things. When you worship, you get realigned, refreshed, and refueled. We find unspeakable joy and indescribable peace. In his presence, right, is fullness of joy. That's why you can consider it all joy, right? Because he's full of joy. In worship, we realize the truth of who God is and experience the breakthrough strength of God. So there you have it. You're a worshiper, a new... Guys, he made you the new wineskin when you accepted him. You have the privilege now of hearing him, seeing him, being in complete union with him at all times. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. If you would stand with me. Oh, you know what? I never did even connect the worship with you. Worship part. He said when they would fast, that it would be after the bridegroom left. So what did they do? They went up into the upper room and fasted. And I looked up what that meant, and it was waiting on God. It was worshiping and not eating food, but it was worshiping. That was the connection of worship to. But no one... I love what Jesus said. No one does put the old new wine into old wines. No, he says, I'm going to do this so that they'll be new wineskins, so that they can go from glory to glory and live a transformed life. Do you know that that's what's available to you, is to live a transformed life?
Yeah.
You know, free of bitterness. Free of offense.
Yes.
Free of unforgiveness.
Yep.
Free. You can live a free life because you're the new wineskin that he pours his spirit into that strengthens and comforts and brings such peace and hope and love and joy. So I would like, if John puts on some music softly, if there is someone here that hasn't given their life to the Lord and you want to come up and give your life to the Lord, that would be the biggest step. God, it's not only your ticket to heaven. I don't know if you find that in the Bible, but it's restored relationship with him. It's the greatest relationship you will ever have. Or if you want to come, or you can stay where you're at, sit in your storm and find him. Feel him. See him. If you want prayer, just come up to the front up here. Somebody will pray with you. Or if you just want to lift your voice in worship and praise, I invite you. Know him. Find him. Love on him. It's all there is in our life is to know him, to see him. Father, I so thank you for your presence. Touch each heart, God, with your grace and expectation. Lord, let your love so pour over them that they fall in love again and again and again. You're so good, God, and you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. Bless them this week, God. Show them something new. Be in their storm. And let them worship with a heart of love. In Jesus' name. Amen.